The word of God for our meditation this Tuesday of Holy Week is recorded in Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 45. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, during the season of Lent, and especially during this Holy Week, our scripture readings and hymns are focused on our Savior's passion, how Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, so that by his wounds we are healed. In his passion, suffering, and death, many were the wounds we inflicted upon our Savior. Wounds of betrayal, wounds of apathy, wounds of denial, and wounds of mockery. As the hymn writer puts it, many hands were raised to wound him. None would interpose to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. Of all the wounds our Lord received, none so struck, so terrorized, and so weighed upon him as the one we hear about in our reading today. We did not inflict this wound. This wound of abandonment came from the Father. Out of the depths of his unspeakable agony, from the cross, our Lord Jesus cries out these words from Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me?" One famous Lutheran preacher from the 20th century, pondering this agony of the wound of abandonment, said, "Suddenly, on a Friday afternoon, a man was forsaken of God, cut off from the living and the dead, utterly and ultimately alone. The sudden emptiness in those shadowed eyes. It was then, much more than afterward, that he died." In this is seen a true picture of sin and its effects. You see, this is sin. It is not merely a matter of murder and adultery and gossip, something to do or not to do. It is always loneliness. It is cutting yourself off from God. It is deliberate turning away from truth, from goodness, from heaven. Yet at the same time, in the cross is seen the meaning of redemption. You see, this is redemption. All this he took into himself, alone, there in the dark. He became sin for us. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. This darkness reminds us of the plague of darkness, the ninth of the 10 plagues that came upon the land of Egypt during the time of Moses. The 10th plague was the death of the firstborn, which was the occasion for the slaughtering of the Passover lambs. History was repeating itself as 3 hours of darkness preceded the death of Jesus, our Passover lamb. On the cross, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. As the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all, as he owns it as his very own, he experiences in himself what every one of those sins demands. Leave me alone, God. Go away. Leave me be. This is the bitterest dregs of the cup of suffering that Jesus will drink for us in its entirety. He will taste hell. He will taste it for us all. As the Father turns his back on him as he hangs on the cross, Jesus will come to know a loneliness and pain beyond physical suffering, an anguish of soul unimaginable for us. How can we even begin to understand what it was like for Jesus at that moment? The Son, the eternal Word, the one rejoicing always in his presence from everlasting, before the beginning of the earth, the eternal Word who took on flesh without ever leaving the presence of his Father, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, living a perfect life of obedience to God's law, ever conscious of the Father's never failing love and presence of his guiding hand. But as Jesus cries out upon the cross, all this is now withdrawn, and Jesus is alone, all alone. Sometimes we hear people try to joke about hell, that at least I will have a lot of company there. Wrong, dead wrong. Remember the account of the rich man and Lazarus? The believing Lazarus at his death had the angels to keep him company, who carried him to heaven where he lay his head in Abraham's bosom. By contrast, the unbelieving rich man at death finds himself in torments in Hades and hungers and thirsts for a human touch. Send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But no visit relieves the terror of the rich man's solitude. He is alone, all alone, and will be alone forever. Ponder that, and you will begin to understand the reality of hell. Ponder that, and you will see hell's true terror. Ponder that, and you will bow in love before the Savior, whose love for you was so great that he chose to enter that loneliness himself and to endure it in your place, that you might be set free from it forever. Never alone. Never again. Because Jesus endured the wound of abandonment that our every sin demands from God, because he drained the cup of suffering down to this, to its last and bitterest dregs, you can now look to your Savior and pray with the confidence of being heard. My Savior, be thou near me when death is at my door. Then let thy presence cheer me, forsake me nevermore. When soul and body languish, O leave me not alone, but take away mine anguish by virtue of thine own. You and I will never have to know what Jesus went through in those darkest hours. Since Christ experienced the wound of abandonment on the cross, you and I will never be abandoned by the Father. God, who has accepted Jesus' sacrifice in your place, promises, never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you. You and I will never have to face life or suffering or death alone. Christ has made sure of it. He will be with you. He will walk with you every step of the way. So hell itself is undone, death destroyed, sin forgiven. Your Savior, your Shepherd, attends you through the valley of the shadow of death so that you fear no evil. For you are not alone, for he is with you. His rod and staff, they comfort you. His goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. He will bring you out from that darkest of valleys into the sunshine of the bright light of the day that never ends in the kingdom of your Father, where you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We had a prayer request for the grandfather of student Elias Cutts. His grandfather has been hospitalized with some heart trouble and is in need of further testing. Please rise for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we entrust into your care Elias's grandfather, who has had difficult issues with his heart valve. Be with the doctors and nurses and those entrusted with his care so that the course of action may be taken that would bring him health and healing according to your will. We pray that you will also be with his family and especially his wife in this time of uncertainty. And this Holy Week, we pray, Almighty and everlasting God, you willed that your Son would bear for us the pains of the cross, that you might remove from us the power of the adversary. Help us to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may obtain remission of sin and redemption from everlasting death through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.